Welcome to the Inspired Women Podcast. I am your host, Megan Hall, academic, spouse, mom, and advocate for change. On this podcast, I hold space for women and non-binary individuals to share their stories. Warning, sometimes we chat about taboo topics and drop some F-bombs. Thank you for being here today and enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Today, I'm here with Zara. Zara Hillard is a 24-year-old mom from Colorado Springs, Colorado. She is currently enrolled in Pikes Peak State College with the goal of becoming a labor and delivery nurse. That sounds like, well, it doesn't sound like fun for me because I wouldn't do that, but like that sounds like a good profession to go into. I think it's really important. I'm a mom as well. Since a young age, she has had the ambition to change lives. And in 2022, that dream became a reality. She is currently preparing for her second surrogacy journey and is a strong believer in educating others about surrogacy. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
I would love for you to kick it off. One, like, we've never had anybody come on to talk about surrogacy. So this is the first time. You're the first.
I'm excited.
I would love for you to kick it off and tell us about the first time you became a surrogate, like what that was like, what made you decide to become one, that sort of thing.
So what drove me into like wanting to become a surrogate was the fact that in seventh or eighth grade, I still can't remember which one it was, but it was somewhere around seventh or eighth grade. I had in my junior high, there was a teacher I had. My piano teacher was a surrogate, actually. And so, you know, as like kids, we're like, yay, like you're pregnant. That's awesome. You know, like our teacher's pregnant. She's telling us she's going to go to maternity leave. And one day I came in and I'm like, I'm so excited you're having a baby. I wanted to get something for the baby. Like I was so excited she was having a baby and she was one of my favorite teachers. And she's like, I'm a surrogate. So like, I'm not keeping this baby. This baby is going to go to another, like another family's home. And I was like, what? Like, I was shocked. I was like, what does that even mean? I didn't know we could do that. Like, I was shocked. So she goes on to tell me that she's carrying twins for a couple in Spain.
I have twins. And
you have twins? Oh yeah. My God.
My last two were twins.
Oh, I love that for you. So I got like starting asking questions like, what does that mean? And so she goes on to tell me about it. So at the end of her telling me everything about it, I'm like, I definitely want to be a surrogate one day. Like that sounds really cool to be able to give like a baby to another family that wanted a baby. And then the other thing that drove me into it was I had a cousin that actually had lost triplets. She was in a same sex relationship as well. And they went through all the IVF stuff to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got to see what it was like for a same-sex couple to go through like the IVF and all of the shots, all the hormonal imbalances, all of that stuff, and to still like lose your babies. Like, I seen the toll that it took on her. And so I was like, I definitely like, this is like sign number two that I really should change lives by having babies for couples that can't.
Yeah. See, do you like being pregnant?
Like, I love being pregnant.
I hated it. So I did. So like when you're talking about being a surrogate, I'm like, I could never, I mean, I can't anyways, because I'm very high risk and it would be dangerous for me to have kids now. But anyways, for multiple reasons, I'm very high risk now. But I did not let, I'm like, I couldn't imagine being a surrogate because I hate it so much. But I know other people love being pregnant.
Yes.
They really enjoy it.
I loved being pregnant. Like my kiddo, when I was pregnant with him, he didn't make me sick at all. Like I had no morning sickness. I felt perfectly fine my whole pregnancy. Mind you, like when I got pregnant with surrogate baby, he made me sick. So I was like, like this is such a different pregnancy, but it was still like the most beautiful thing that I think I've ever done is like carrying my sorrow babe. And I love like, I love being pregnant, but I love more so the story behind like surrogacy and what that looks like.
Yeah. So tell us what that surrogate journey looked like for you. Like, how did you decide who you're going to be a surrogate for? How was that like giving a baby that you carried for 9 months to someone else? Like, That's another thing is like, I can't imagine that. So share with us, because I'm very curious. I am. That's why I was like, when they pitched having someone on to talk about surrogacy, I'm like, we've never talked about it. And I'm actually like very curious. So tell me about it.
I'd love to share. So surrogacy is clearly like the, you know, the process where you carry for 9 months another couple's baby. And for whatever reason, their reason might vary on why they can't carry. You know, some are same sex men relationships that they can't carry at all. Some it's rare that you'll find like lesbian couples going through surrogacy. But when you do, it's because both of the women can't carry for some reason or don't want to carry. And then you have some heterosexual relationships where the woman either can't get pregnant herself or they're infertile for some reason and having trouble getting pregnant like the normal way, I guess, without surrogacy. So in my journey, when I applied with Surrogate First, my initial application, I didn't really like have my mindset on like caring for a same-sex couple. You know, I kind of was like, I'm open to whatever. Like, this is my first journey. I'm not going to be super picky. Like, I just want to see what I get. And so I would say that like the matching process is kind of like speed, like online speed dating. Like you kind of get each other's profile and you kind of like get to look at it, which that's something that has changed. Like I know not too long ago, but like previous surrogates that did it, like say 10, 15 years ago, they didn't really get like, it was more of a one-way street in terms of like intended parents picked the surrogate and the surrogate couldn't like deny parents because like they didn't feel that certain connection or whatever. So that's something that's updated now with surrogacy is like you as a surrogate get to browse through intended parents that like you, and then you get to see if you actually mutually feel a connection there, which is very important as a surrogate because you're going through this journey holding hands with your intended parents pretty much the whole time. Like they are your another branch of your support system. They are there for you to depend on for questions, comments, concerns, anything that you're worried about. Like they're really like another branch of your support. And that's really important as a surrogate because you go through a lot of emotions. You go through a lot of changes. You go through a lot of stuff and your body actually goes through a lot of stuff too, you know? So it's very important to me, like the matching process, I think is like the biggest and most important step through surrogacy. But as soon as you actually match, then you go ahead and you go through a match meeting. So you end up going on Zoom, you know, actually getting to talk with these people that you're going to carry for and like having a good conversation, getting to know each other a little bit more, creating those conversations that might have been tough or unanswered in like your matching process. Right. And then after that, you go ahead and you head on to psych evaluation. And that's just where they're making sure that like your mental is actually prepared to go through what you're going to go through because it is a lot on your body and it's a lot for us women. Like it's a lot for us to go through. So they like to just make sure and take the steps to make sure that we're ready. And then after that, you head on to medical clearance. So medical clearance is where they send you out to your fertility clinic that approved you to carry. And they're going to do like a number of evaluations on you, a bunch of testing, a lot of stuff just to make sure that your body is actually, you know, physically capable and ready to bear a baby for 9 months and to go through all of the, you know, hormonal injections, the estrogen pills that we have to take. And then to see if your body is like, some women go through like a trial of like a period to see and make sure that their body is like willing to take on like tricking itself into being pregnant, you know? So a lot of stuff happens with medical clearance. And then after medical clearance, you head on to legal clearance. And that's just where the intended parents have an attorney. We have our own attorney and our attorneys do a lot of the communicating just to make sure that we have an actual contract that's notarized and signed by our attorneys and by us, just to make sure that everybody's protected in there and to make sure everything's perfect for us, like both parties. And then as soon as you're done, with legal clearance, then you head on to your transfer. So for my transfer, I flew out to San Diego Fertility Center, and that is where I did my transfer as well. And it was really awesome. Like I actually allowed, not allowed, but I let the dads come in. I'm like, I know this is a very personal time, you know, like they're going to put the embryo in me. So I knew it was like, I was a little nervous, you know, but I thought that that was a very important part for the dads to be included in.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Because it is a very personal process, you know, getting pregnant and having babies and things like that. I can imagine it's like even more deeply personal because now you're carrying someone else's baby and stuff like that. Have you watched the most recent seasons of Will and Grace?
No, I have not actually seen that show at all.
Oh, really? It's one of my favorite shows. I'm also much older than you. but one of the most recent seasons, which I mean, it went off air a couple of years ago. Like they through the 90s and early 2000s, like late 90s, early 2000s, they did a whole bunch of episodes or seasons, and then they came back about after Trump got elected, because there was a lot of like joking around about him and stuff like that in the show. But the point is, one of the characters has a surrogate, and they talk about like she got to pick who she was going to carry a baby for, and they met and all of these things. And he was very involved. Like they lived in the in near each other, like an hour away, and he was very involved. And I thought it was really beautiful. Because like I said, like I personally, like, I don't think I could do it. I mean, I physically can't now. I physically can't, but it was just a really beautiful thing. So like, if you ever get around to it, you don't have to watch the older seasons, but like the last three seasons, it's really beautiful. So what made you decide to do this again?
I would say what made me want to do it again was the feeling of actually physically giving the parents their baby. It is so breathtaking. Like, I can't even, what I related to the most is like, you know, as when you have your own children and, you know, Christmas is coming around, you know, as babies, they don't really even know. They're like, okay, just the day that we're opening presents, or, you know, they're like, okay, you're giving me these gifts, let me open them. But the first real Christmas that your child is of age to even know, like, Christmas is tomorrow, we're going to make Santa cookies. And, you know, like seeing their face that Christmas, very first Christmas morning, when they actually know, you know, Santa's coming tonight, I'm going to get presents in the morning. That is exactly, I feel like, what the dad's eyes look like when they officially heard Caleb cry when he came out. And when I looked at them and they looked at me and they heard Caleb cry and I seen their eyes, we all just immediately started crying. And I'm like, I love them so much. I, through the 9 months and before even the 9 months, because they had actually met me for my medical clearance. They had came out there and they didn't have to, but they did. And then they actually came out in October, before I was even pregnant, like 2 or 3 months before I even got pregnant. And they came out and hung out with my whole family for like, I think they were here for like 2 days, and they hung out with my whole family. Like, we had created a bond that was even deeper than just surrogacy. And still to this day, they'll just like text me on my birthday, like, happy birthday, we love you so much, I hope you have an amazing birthday. And then out of nowhere, they'll just throughout the week, sometimes they'll be like, do you have time on Sunday for like a FaceTime? We want to FaceTime and see you. And I'm like, the friendship that we've built, and I don't even think friendship, I think family, the aspect of us creating this special connection, and we're more like family. I want to go through that again. Like, I love the dads so much. I would do anything for them. And for them to remind me so much how much like I impacted their life and changed not only their lives, but their family and friends' lives by giving them Caleb. It's like so breathtaking. And nothing else is like it.
That's beautiful. Like that sounds so beautiful. And I love that you all are staying connected. Is that normal? Does that usually happen? Or is it just a clean break? Like, you don't have anything to do with each other.
And like, that is something that a lot of people seem to ask. And That's why I say matching to me is the most important part, because in matching, that's when, you know, you as a surrogate get to create your own profile and put in there what you want. Like in mine, I wanted another set of intended parents that I felt like we were family. Like they wanted to be as involved as I'd let them, and they wanted me to be as involved as I wanted to be as well. And I'm actually in the process of my second journey. I haven't like told my like TikTokers or anything yet, but I actually got matched two Fridays ago. So I matched wow. with another parents, and in my new intended parents profile, they said that they wanted their surrogate relationship to be as if we were best friends. And that to me is like, so like, I know there's other surrogates though that they want the clean break. They're like, mm-hmm. Once I have the baby, like, I don't have to have pictures in contact with you. I don't have to, you know, stay in the loop of things. And that's definitely why, like I said, that the matching is so important, because both you and intended parents get to decide that. And then you guys mm-hmm. are matched based off of like those things. So I really wanted to match with somebody who really wanted to be like, you know, texting randomly, not just to check up on the baby, but to check up on me and for me to check up on them and to feel like it's a safe place to be like, hey guys, I'm just having a really hard day. Do you guys have time to talk? Like, and I love the fact that I can depend on my previous intended parents to do the same thing. And I really do think that my new intended parents are just like that.
So do you usually meet them in person prior to everything, or was that just kind of like that's what they wanted to do? I know you said you meet over Zoom, but I didn't know if you usually meet in person.
Yes. So in regards to my first intended parents, they were in Cali. So they were really, really close like to me. And they didn't have to do that, but they took it upon themselves to go out there, get a rental car, pick me up from the airport and hang out with me. They did that all based off of like what they wanted to do, but I really appreciated it because it gave me more time to get to know them and hang out. My new set of intended parents are actually international. So they're from, Taiwan. They're from Taiwan, I think. And so they're unable to make it to like appointments, and mm-hmm. they're unable to come and see me physically and up until probably baby's birth. But that connection will still be there, because once we get in contact after our match meeting Zoom, I feel like we'll be able to text and FaceTime a lot more, and they'll still be really involved, which I'm very thankful that they can even get the calls during appointments and stuff. That's important to me to make sure that they're there for that stuff.
Yeah. So they feel connected to what's going on.
Yeah.
Wow. International. Like they're going to come and grab a newborn baby and fly across the world with the baby.
Yes. Yes.
I do not envy them, because I flew with my daughter and she was, I don't know, a couple months old, and it was wild.
Yes, yes.
And they're going to be on a plane for hours.
Hours, the baby.
I was only on a plane for like, I think an hour. And it was a wild experience. She had a diaper blowout in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
When I was like, I was 16, when I had my first daughter, and I didn't know what to do. I was a 16-year-old, had this baby and diaper blowout. And we had all these little kind older ladies that were on the flight, and they were so sweet, and they were trying to help me out. And it was, I'm thankful that it was them instead of like some mean people, you know, because I had this
yes.
baby and this blowout, and I was crying. But at least I'm sure both of them are gonna come for the baby, so at least there'll be two of them, and they can kind of like, you know,
juggle it together. Yes. And that's the part, like I was scared. I'm like, are they sure, like this will be like a long flight and stuff, but there's a lot of surrogates who carry for international couples, so this is something I guess that like a lot of us surrogates have been through. This will be, like I said, my first, but my, the lady that works with my agency, and she's like the director of it, and she runs like pretty much a bunch of different roles in our agency. She actually had four for international couples, four wow. surrogate babies. And three of them are all for the same family, and one of them was for a different family. So she's went through this several times. So she's like, I'm used to it. Like, I know how it works. It's like, they'll be fine. They'll know exactly what to do when they're together, when they get the baby. And I'm like, I know they got it, but I'm just like thinking about myself. Like, I don't think I can do it.
No, no way. Flying for hours with a newborn baby. I know.
You're like, hard I don't pass. Even know what I do.
Yeah, I don't. I'd be so lost. And I'm 37. Okay, I've been through four kids. I've had four kids, and right. I can't even imagine it.
I can't imagine. Like, I've never flown with a newborn baby, but like, I've heard stories of people that have flown with newborns and how it's like crazy. It's hectic. You know, you're trying to transport car seats and strollers and the baby and. I don't know, like my anxiety, I feel like when it comes to like thinking about that stuff, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I would do. Would I take the stroller? Where do I take the stroller? Where do I take the car seat? Like I overthink it so much that I'm like, I don't think I could do it.
It's actually much safer to buy a ticket for a seat for the baby and bring their car seat on board, because like those people at the airport, they are not nice to stuff. They will just toss your shit right in there. And yes. You don't want a car seat to be tossed right in there with all this stuff, because like, that's how they get broken. That's how things happen. And yeah, they are not good with that stuff.
I'll keep that in mind to travel with the car seat in the plane. Cause now that you say it, imagine that, like it's broken, then what do you do?
Right. Have you ever watched them like load the stuff onto a plane? They are not nice with your luggage.
They throw your luggage, like they don't even care. They're like, whatever.
No, that's why you got to be like really careful with packing stuff in your luggage, because I mean, that it can get broke. They are just not nice. They're like, my luggage is all scuffed up from flying and stuff.
I feel like even if I wrote fragile on the outside of mine in like marker or something, they would still be like,
yeah,
fragile.
Yeah. Who cares? Just throw it in there. Yeah. So if the couple that you've already been a surrogate for, if they wanted to have another baby, would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I would be so willing to do that. You know, at the time that I was getting pregnant with Caleb and stuff, they kind of were like in between if they would ever want another baby or if they would be one and done. And they haven't really said anything to me about wanting another one yet. But I know that the connection and the relationship that we have, I know that they would probably come to me first. I know that they would be like, hey, we're interested, but, you know, we're comfortable with you and we know you and we love you. So I know they'd come to me, but. I really at a point in after I had Caleb for a while, I was like, I'm just gonna be patient. Like, what if the dads end up wanting another baby and I'm like pregnant with somebody else's? And then I was like, I don't want to let them down, but then I'm like, I want to do this for multiple families. I want to impact multiple families at the same time. So I'm like, while they're you know, figuring that out, if they even want more, I'm like, I can have another baby for somebody else and
right,
just go from there, see where it goes.
Do you have a limit in your head for how many times you'll do this? Like, is there a magical limit, or are you just like, I'm just gonna go with the flow?
I'm kind of with like, I'll go with the flow. I feel like in our agency, our director, she's carried four, and I feel like that's the highest number for one surrogate in our agency so far has been four. If I could pick, I would say four would be a comfortable number. But I would also like depend that or like base that off of like a couple different things. Like if I was at four, but then my first set of intended parents or my second set of intended parents wanted a sibling, you know, for their baby that I had already had, I feel like I would break that number in my head and I'd be like, okay, we're going to go to five, you know, like, I don't know. I would go a little bit beyond four if it came to like parents that I already was like comfortable with and already knew and had that relationship with. But I think four is my number for like starting with new parents, I think it would be four.
Now, do they have to go through the agency again if they want to use you as a surrogate, or can they like just come to you and be like, hey, we'd like to have it? Now, obviously, you need to have the legality, right? You need to have the lawyers and stuff to make sure everything's good there, because you don't want like them to change their minds or you to change your mind, or you want to have, even though you know each other, you still want to have that legal protection. But will they have to go through the agency again to get connected with you, or how does that work?
Well, like, I feel like if the dads wanted me to be the surrogate, like they would probably come to me and then go through the agency to like go through the process again. I would say like I could go independent if I really wanted to, and then go through it like all those steps by myself. But I think until I'm like super comfortable with it, I'm really, really in love with my agency that I did it for. I don't have any plans on changing agencies or going independent right now. But that is always something like I know other surrogates have went independent and went with like parents they knew and like went through all the stuff. But it makes it a little bit harder. Like you as like my agency, they set up like all my appointments, my psyche vows. They set up everything and they just kind of tell me, you know, like we're flying you out for medical clearance on this date. Does it work? So they kind of do all of the like hard stuff and the more technical stuff parts of the like the surrogacy. But I know that there are surrogates who do go independent, but they have to set up all of that stuff. You know, they have to stay on top of it all. They have to find, you know, their lawyers, or, you know, they could possibly use the lawyers that they already have used before. But I don't really know how much, like, how much time goes into that. So for now, just until I get like super comfortable, I don't think I would go independent. But if I ever did, it would be, you know, third or fourth surrogacy possibly. And it would be like, in terms of like, if my first or second or third intended parents were like, hey, you know, we don't really want to go through an agency, but we know you and like, we have that relationship already. How do you feel about it? I might be more open to it by then, but, for now I feel really, really safe, like doing it through my agency. I know I'm good. And I know that everything is lined up and in order. So I feel more comfortable right now with that.
Are there a lot of agencies that do this? Or like, I don't know. I mean, I've never met somebody who's a surrogate. And I'm like, is this like, are there a lot of surrogates? Or like, are there a lot of agencies? I don't know. Like, I mean, you answer that question.
Yes, actually, that's a great question. So there are a lot of agencies. There's a lot of different agencies that do surrogacy. So it's all about like, I know when I was initially like browsing around, looking around for agencies, I kind of bounced between a couple different ones. Like I had appointments to go like talk to like the intake coordinators at a couple different agencies. But when I was coming in, my intake coordinator was Ashley, who is the director of Surrogate First. And me and her clicked immediately. Like she and me like were like two peas in a pod at first, right off the beginning conversations we had. And I just got really, really comfortable with Surrogate First. Like I really felt safe. I felt even more safe because not only was my intake coordinator a surrogate herself, she was a three-time surrogate at that time. But my case manager I got assigned to was a previous surrogate. And I come to find out that Surrogate First is actually ran only by women who have been surrogates. Wow. So, you know, that just like comforted me a lot more in like finding an agency who are ran by women who are surrogates. Like, I'm like, I feel like I can ask anybody in my agency a question about, you know, giving myself my hormonal injections or, you know, like different mm-hmm. processes or steps I take in the surrogacy. And it just gave me like that extra cushion of safety, like a safety net. I was like, I'm good. Like, I feel comfortable here. I feel safe. I feel valued. And that's why another reason I love Surrogate First, because a lot of agencies put the intended parents first on the list and they make sure the intended parents are great. They're taken care of. They feel safe. But not a lot of agencies. There's certain agencies out there that I've heard that don't prioritize the surrogate. And Surrogate First definitely is an agency that puts the surrogate first. So it was amazing matching with an amazing agency right off my first experience.
Now, do they work with people all over the country, or is it just specifically for where you live?
It's actually, the agency works with surrogates, any U.S. Citizen. So any woman that wants to become a surrogate that is a U.S. citizen can go through Surrogate First.
Okay, I'm asking because in case somebody's listening and they're like, I would love to be a surrogate. I love being pregnant and I want to give back, because I can't imagine somebody like me who hates being pregnant. But maybe somebody's out there is like, I hate being pregnant, but I want to give back.
But I'd do it.
But I'd do it because I want to help somebody out.
Yes.
But somebody might be listening. I should have said this in the beginning, but when this airs, it's Surrogate Awareness Month, right? In March,
yes.
Is Surrogate Awareness Month. And yes. So maybe somebody's listening and they never thought about it, but now they're like, oh yeah, that's something I do. And so that's why, I mean, you're ranting and not ranting, but you're raving about Surrogate First. That's why I'm like, where do these ladies got to be at?
Yes. Yes. And I actually am a part of Surrogate First's Social Butterflies group. So I actually do a lot of TikTok and Facebook and Instagram content, all wrapped around like surrogacy. And so I actually do a lot of education on there. I answer a lot of like common questions. I do a lot of like trending sounds, but related to surrogacy. So I do use my platforms, my social media platforms for sure, to like spread the word about women becoming surrogates. And, you know, there, like you said, there's a lot of women that probably never thought about it. But once they come across like my TikToks or something, they're like, like, that's something I could definitely see myself doing. So, I definitely do talk about a lot of that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I have a question. As somebody who has had multiple C-sections, would that impact somebody being able to be a surrogate?
Yes. So you can't have more than two, I believe. I believe it's two C-sections to be able to do it. And we do look at stuff like age. So women between the age of 21 to 42 through our agency can become surrogates. And then you have to be like, you know, you can't have like certain, like if you're a person with diabetes type 1 or 2, I believe that's something that would affect you possibly getting cleared. There's certain health things that you have to like meet on there, like BMI has to be under 32 just for you to be like cleared for surrogacy as well. So then there's like a bunch of other things like that, but women between the age of 21 to 42, no previous like complications during pregnancy. So it's like those kinds of things that we look for and we look at, but we tell a lot of women who are like interested and they're not sure, we're like, go ahead and apply and we'll let you know if like what you answer on there makes you like pre-approved or, you know, disqualified for it.
Yeah. For what people don't know is like your third C-section actually dramatically increases the possibility that something will go wrong with your next pregnancy, which is one of the many things that put me at really high risk for getting pregnant. I have a tubal ligation, so that shit ain't happening. But
oh my god, yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm done. Hey, you know, the last ones tried to kill me, and I'm just like, I think I'm done.
You're like, I'm not doing it again. I don't want to be that close. Again. Like, no.
And I'm a double ovulator. Apparently, one of my ovaries drops 2 eggs at once, so the chances of me having twins again is like pretty high. And I'm like,
oh my god,
hell no.
Oh, hell no. Do you have twin boys or is it a boy girl?
Yeah.
If I ever have twins, I want boy girl.
Yeah, it's my only boy. I have 3 girls and a boy.
And your twins are your youngest?
They're my youngest. Yes. We went for one and got two. Because my older girls are not biologically my spouses. And so, we went for one because he said, you know, he would like to have a biological child. He was like, if you don't want to, that's fine. I love the girls. And he always has loved the girls just like his own. You know, most people can't even tell, like, unless we disclose it, that they're not biologically his. And so we went for one because I was like, we'll try for one. And we got two. And I was like, I'm done. I mean, and then they tried to kill me while I was pregnant. And so I was like, if I wasn't already done, I was done then.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't think people know that is like your rates of complications significantly increase the more C-sections you have. And so I can understand that. But I am surprised at the upper limit for age that it would be 42.
Like, yes.
Because what, after 35, it's considered like, oh, what is it called? There's a word for it. It makes you feel really old when they start calling you, but, I'm surprised 42. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I was really surprised when I found that out too, but, you know, women that have had babies in their younger years and they decided that they're done and then they didn't really come to, you know, find out about surrogacy until later in life, but they had never had complications. They had perfect pregnancies and they're healthy women. Even at like 38, 39, we have, some surrogates that even apply then and they're like, you know, I'm healthy. I had my two kids young and I was done and I never even really heard about surrogacy, but now I have, so I'm interested. And so, we love to hear that, you know, like even some of the older women and, that are carrying and stuff, you know, they're like, I'm excited to carry. Like, I know I might be a little up in my age, but I'm so excited.
They call it a geriatric pregnancy. That's what it's called. I was trying to think of the word. And geriatric makes them like really old.
Makes them feel old.
I think it's above the age of 35. You're considered a geriatric pregnancy. One of my friends just had a baby 2 years ago. And so she was 36 and she was considered a geriatric pregnancy and she's like, I feel really old. And I was like, I would too. Now this might be a personal question, you might not want to answer this and find nobody will hear it if you don't want to. How does your partner feel about you being a surrogate?
Oh, she's 110% supportive. She even supported me a little bit from afar because that year that I did my surrogacy, she was actually away in Minnesota playing basketball.
Wow.
For college. Yeah. So she's a collegiate basketball player. So she's like, you know, like she never had heard about surrogacy either before that. And she's like, when I told her about it, she was like, I'm so down to be there for you through everything. And I'm like, I love that, you know, like no matter what crazy idea I bring to her, she's like, I'm down. Let's do it. Let's see what this is about. And I'm like, oh, I love you. Like, she was so supportive even from afar. Like she would come home on her vacations and she's like giving me my hormonal injections and, you know, making sure I'm good. And she really was 110% supportive of me. And the dads love her so much. It was an amazing experience. Even when we had Caleb, they got to spend a lot of time with her in the hospital too. So they got to like, we played games with them. We hung out with them. And then even when I was about 20 to 21 weeks pregnant with Caleb, the dads actually sent me and Aubrey out to Tahoe. That's where they live in Cali, Lake Tahoe. So they sent us out there. We had so much fun. It was crazy.
I love that because I can imagine that would be a barrier for some women is like their partner not being supportive of them being a surrogate. I don't know what my spouse would feel about. I mean, obviously not now. I mean, like when I was younger, how he would feel about it. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we never discussed it because like it was not an option. Having a supportive partner, I can imagine could be a barrier for some women who would want to be a surrogate.
It could. And it's kind of like something that was surprising to me as I started doing like the social butterflies and making a lot of content, you know, about surrogacy. It's like some women are like, you know, my husband would not support me in that. Or, you know, my husband is not he's like my husband or my partner is against it. Or, you know, like we've heard a lot of those things. And I'm like, I feel bad for women who want to do it, but they don't have the support community. I call it like a support community because it even branches off farther than your partner, you know, like if you have kids, you want your kids to be like excited about it. And like, you want to tell them about it and inform them about it. And then, you know, parents, like as a surrogate, you want your parents to know like, hey, I'm having a baby for somebody who can't, and you want them to be supportive and to be proud of you, you know, that you're making a change in the world. So it's really important to make sure as a surrogate, especially for like your postpartum, to make sure that you have a really good support team and a good, really good support person who's going to be there and be able to go with you through like, you know, all the emotions and all the things that are going running through your head as you just, you know, gave life to a little baby and you're not coming home with that baby. It even is a little bit different, you know, in that aspect. And I definitely feel like I had a lot of hormones even after, because I actually did the whole pumping my breast milk and actually sending it to the dads every week. So, you know, my hormones were definitely still fluctuating a lot.
Yeah, I mean, your hormones are all over the place after you have a baby.
All over.
Especially if your breastfeeding is still like in flux. I breastfed all of my kids. My oldest only for like, she was the shortest amount of time because I was a teenager. So like you, in high school, they didn't have pumping stations or any. Apparently some high schools have it now, but they didn't have that. And so like I could only pump during lunch, and that wasn't enough. I ended up drying up. But I remember when I started drying up, I cried so hard. I was so upset because like I really wanted to do that for her, but like it was like a very difficult situation as a teenager, but I breastfed all of my babies for some amount of time. And it's a really special, now I understand not everybody wants to do it, but it can be a really special thing. So
it can be really special.
Yeah. That's amazing that you did that. So as we wrap up the podcast today, what would you like to leave the Inspired Women audience with?
I would just like to leave a couple messages, one in regards to my agency. So Surrogate First is the agency I carried through. They are also the agency that I'm planning to carry my second one through. And I'm luckily just got matched through them. I just wanted to mention them and to give them a thanks at the end of this podcast, because they did a lot of stuff above and beyond that they didn't have to do, but they definitely did. As their surrogates, we received first trimester, second trimester, and third trimester boxes that they would mail out to us with like cute stuff. Like my first trimester box had like nausea medicine and like nausea drops, and you know, it's a Surrogate First eye mask thing. So when you're asleep, like you put it over your eyes and you're asleep, and it's cute. They sent me a t-shirt in the box, and then like closer to you having baby, they sent like another box with a bunch of goodies and stuff for you as you're going to prepare for labor. Another thing they did was they actually sent me a cute little edible arrangement when I had him sent to the hospital, and I received it in the labor and delivery room. I just wanted to appreciate them so much for doing so much for their surrogates and prioritizing us as much as they do. They actually just sent us on a surrogacy retreat. We went on a cruise.
What?
They took us on a cruise. We just got back. Like, I got back on the 2nd. It was a four-day cruise to Ensenada, Mexico, and Catalina, California. And it's something that they're starting to do every year now, annually retreat for their surrogates who had a surrogate baby either the year prior or the year of. And so I just wanted to come on here, like I said, and say thank you so much to Surrogate First for doing everything that you guys have done and how much you guys love us so much and prioritize us. And then the only other thing that I wanted to say is I want to mention for any of the people listening that surrogates, when it comes to women of different ethnicity, I want them to know that this is an option for them as well. And that this is open for anybody. Any women, you know, no matter color, height, weight, whatever, like I want them to know that this is something that is open to them and that this is an option for them to do if they have the heart and they want to do it. I say go for it. And I just wanted to come on here and say that to them.
That's amazing. And I think it was Brittany who was communicating with me. And I was, I have very strong views. And so I was like, this is what I stand for. And I would like you to make sure I'm connected with a guest who also like stands for these things too, because I don't like to get people on and then they start saying things and I'm just like, no, ma'am, we're not doing this on this podcast, because I want to be protective of my audience and stuff like that. So Brittany was really great. At first, she had suggested one person. And then when I told her that, she was like, no, I got the person for you. And I was like, yay, me.
I'm so glad I got connected. And I'm so glad that you feel strongly about those certain things. It's really important to me to start spreading the word more for our women out here. So I thank you so much for this opportunity as well. This is an amazing podcast, and I connected with you so great.
Thank you.
Such a great podcast, and I can't wait to hear it and to hear it go out on the 25th. I'm super excited.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I love you so, so much.
Thank you for tuning in with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating or review. Follow us on social media at Inspired Women Podcast, both on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, The Inspired Women Podcast.